Well, the Mockingbird sounds a particularly appropriate note for our trip beyond the headlines today with Peter Dykstra. He's the publisher of DailyClimate.org and Environmental Health News, EHN.org, and joins us on the line now from Conyers, Georgia. Hi there, Peter.
Hi, Steve. You know, this is a grand time of year for folks like me because April Fool's Day is upon us. And one of the best parts of April Fool's Day are those things that sound like hoaxes and pranks, but they turn out to be true. So remember that everything I'm about to tell you actually happened.
Even if it sounds like it didn't, huh?
Right. One of my favorites happened 6 years ago when NASCAR went carbon neutral. Back in 2008, they designated one single Saturday race as contributing no net gain of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere because they paid a conservation group to plant 4,200 carbon-eating trees.
And they said that offset a NASCAR race?
Not just the NASCAR race, but the 100,000-plus spectators who came to the race. All that, they said, can be neutralized by planting what amounts to about 6 acres worth of forest. But there's a little math problem here. The Michigan International Speedway, where this carbon-neutral race occurred, if you take the grandstand, the track, the infield, the parking lot, it's 1,100 acres of what at one time was a forest.
Yeah, you're right about the math problem here. Let's try to figure this out. Let's say one green race a year, 6 acres. So they could reforest an area the size of the racetrack in about 250 years.
Close. It would actually be 233 years, so they'd be all done and caught up by the year 2247.
Now, Peter, you're not saying that carbon offsets are a bad thing, are you?
No, not at all. Carbon offsets, when they're practiced regularly, when they're practiced on a widespread basis, can be a major part of dealing with climate change. But you don't get to claim credit for a bright green glow just by planting 6 acres worth of trees once. Sometimes embracing a term like carbon neutral or carbon offsets can be empty gestures, and that can do more for your marketing department than it does to help your planet.
What's up next?
Here's one that's been around for about 20 years, but it never ceases to amaze me. The American Spirit Tobacco Company has a special marketing niche of its own. They sell organic tobacco that is free of pesticides.
But it's still tobacco.
It's still tobacco, and not only does it carry the standard Surgeon General's warning, but their website also has another warning that reads, and I quote, "No additives in our tobacco does not mean a safer cigarette."
So you can still get cancer from pesticide-free cigarettes, but thank heavens it won't be from the pesticides.
Yeah, it's like saying, just shoot me, but please don't use the lead shot.
Okay, what about one more?
Well, this one's also an oldie but goodie. It comes from 1990. It's one of the first occasions when global governments got together to discuss and plan for climate change. One of the U.S. delegates was Julian R. Spradley. He was an attorney and lobbyist. Mr. Spradley got into a little discussion with the Bangladeshi delegation, who they somehow got the idea that the U.S. wasn't taking climate change seriously enough. So Mr. Spradley summoned up his best diplomatic instincts to calm down the Bangladeshi delegation. And he said about climate change, as quoted by the Washington Post, "The situation is not a disaster, it is merely a change. The area won't have disappeared, it will just be underwater. Where you now have cows, you will have fish."
I'm sure you thought that was fine with the 150 million plus Bangladeshis. But Peter, you're promising us that all these things really did happen.
Yeah, as James Thurber said, you can look it up.
Well, you can look all of this up on our website. That's loe.org. Peter Dykstra is the publisher of Environmental Health News and the DailyClimate.org. Thanks so much, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Talk to you soon.